Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Oh, I see. So God is picking on you? Is that what you're saying?
No, he's ignoring me completely.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, hearing the voice of God is very important, but sometimes I wonder if it might have been easier living in biblical times. When God wanted Moses to do something, well, he appeared as a burning bush and did some incredible signs, both audibly and physically. Or how about the night when Jesus Christ was born, when the shepherds heard the good news told right specifically to them? Well, even though we live in a culture that doesn't always seem interested in what God has to say, he does continue to speak to us through the power of his Holy Spirit. Well, the problem is, we're not always sure how to recognize when God speaks to us, and actually, we're not listening to him in the proper way, perhaps. During the next half hour, I'm going to continue my excellent conversation with Priscilla Shire. She's the founder of Going Beyond Ministries, and she believes that recognizing when God is speaking can be a process. She has some tools to help you discover how to hear his voice more clearly in your life. So keep it right here. It's going to be a most informative conversation today here on Homeward.
The studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University. Welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. In just a moment, part two of Jim's continuing conversation with author and speaker Priscilla Shire, talking about recognizing when God speaks to you. First, though, I want to speak to you a word of thanks for the prayers and faithful financial support that we receive here at the ministry. Homeward is completely listener supported. This broadcast goes out on the radio and online and through podcasting each and every day because of the financial contributions of listeners just like you. If you can give a gift right now as we end our fiscal year on June the 30th, we'd love to hear from you. You can write to us at P.O. Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693. And now with part one of today's program on recognizing when God speaks to you, here's Jim Burns.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, Priscilla Shire is with us. We're talking about a continuing conversation, recognizing when God speaks to you. And we had such a great conversation last time. Sought-after Bible teacher, holds a master's degree in biblical studies from Dallas Theological Seminary. We were talking last time, the daughter of Dr. Tony and Lois Evans, married to her husband, Jerry. They live in Dallas with their young sons. Priscilla, welcome back to our program.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Great to have you with us. Now, we were talking before that it's so important for us to be in touch with the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit oftentimes speaks to us through a still small voice, but that still small voice is also persistent. And you seem to think that persistence is a part of the voice of God.
I do, and I draw that straight from Scripture. Oftentimes throughout the Scriptures, you see Yahweh pursuing his people passionately, consistently, persistently, even with the illustration of 1 Samuel chapter 3 of that little boy Samuel. He kept pretty much, he wasn't ignoring the voice because he kept running into Eli to see if it was Eli, but he was getting it wrong. Yeah. Three times he got it wrong. And God continued. I love 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 10. That last time God called, it says, I love the picture this paints of God. It says that God came and stood and called as at other times. It's this patient God that comes and stands in our midst and says, listen, I want you to know my will for you. And I think that's the thing about our God that we have to recognize. He's not hiding his will from us. He's hiding it for us. It's like a hide and seek game that you want to play with your 2-year-old. You don't go and hide yourself in a place they'll never find you. That's part of the fun, is making sure that they get you.
And sometimes we have to learn to wait, you say.
Absolutely. We have to be patient and wait on the Lord. And even Habakkuk had to do that. You know, he was, man, the first chapter of his book, he is so upset because he's calling out to God. God doesn't seem to be paying him any attention. By the time you get to the first verse of the second chapter of the book of Habakkuk, he says, you know, I'm going up on the watchtower and I'm going to stand up here and I'm going to wait and watch to see what it is that God is going to say to me. Yeah. And what a great illustration we have from that he went and positioned himself above ground level in order to see what God was going to say. Once you pray and ask the Lord what it is that he would have you to do in a situation and you're waiting to hear God's answer, you can't stay at ground level circumstances where you're just being bombarded. In other words, you're allowing yourself to be pulled to and fro by ground level type circumstances. You got to position yourself a little bit away from those things and expect that God is coming and that he will answer you.
Now, you used the word circumstances there, and one of the phrases that I underlined in your book was that God uses circumstantial evidence to convict us sometimes.
Yeah.
That's a hard one for me, because sometimes, you know, there's circumstances that are of God, sometimes they're not, and it's hard to discern.
Right. I would say that if you are sensing God is leading you in a particular place or a particular direction internally, remember, that's where we all start here, with the Holy Spirit lives in us. We're not counting on external things to tell us God's voice. Internally, that's where we're looking. And if what you're sensing internally is continually confirmed by external things, then I believe that is often God's way of just kind of fermenting what it is that he is saying to us. I was feeling convicted about apologizing to someone one day about something that was going on in my life. And I'm telling you, that day that I was debating whether or not this was something God was asking me to do, or if I was just kind of making it up, that day I turned on the television and there was a talk show on apologizing to people in your life that you love. And then later on that day, I had a conversation with a girlfriend on the phone who called me to tell me that she was really feeling like she needed to apologize to someone else about, she needed me to help her to talk her through this situation. Right. And I just thought, this cannot all be right. Serendipity or just fate or coincidence. When the Lord allows these external things to happen, that's his way of kind of pushing you in the right direction.
And in many ways, as you say that, it's going along with scripture too.
Absolutely.
Because this intuition, the circumstances, if they're through the grid of scripture, then that even makes more sense, obviously.
Absolutely.
And to apologize, that's very scriptural.
Absolutely.
As well. Yeah. Well, that makes a lot of sense. You use the word listening, and part of what you write about in your book also is the issue of learning to listen to God. You mentioned your mom taught you some things. You mentioned your dad's name, Tony Evans, you know, very famous, well-known, incredible Christ follower.
I taught him everything he knows.
Well, you speak a lot like him. How did they teach you as a child to learn to listen to God?
You know what? I guess at the time, I wouldn't have known that that was specifically what was happening. But I do remember my parents. Two things. I remember that we had concentrated times of family devotions, even if my dad could only get through 5 minutes of it because we were cutting up and laughing and playing. I saw in my parents a desire for their family to understand that the Word of God had to be the epicenter of our lives. And so I've even been able to carry that on now with my husband and I. We desire for our boys to know that this Bible and this Christianity thing, it's not a job. It's not something you do. It's your life. The second thing is, I remember my mother just saying, let's just be quiet for a while. Well, you got to be kidding me. What 7-year-old, 8-year-old wants to be quiet for a while? But it is in the stillness that you can most clearly hear what God is saying. God speaks in all ways, but in the silence, you can most easily connect with what he's saying.
Now, one of your favorite movies is Serendipity. Talk about that.
Well, this is Serendipity. You know, I'm a hopeless romantic. Yeah. You know, I love when the people get together in the end that you want to get together in the end. And so this movie is all about this guy and this girl who meet years and years earlier. Life takes them apart. And basically, there are a string of unexplainable occurrences that happen that bring them back together till the very last moment of the movie. You still don't know if they're going to be together. And then all of a sudden, they find each other after a decade. You know, it's been forever.
Sounds like a chick flick to me.
Oh, it is. You wouldn't be interested. But it is such a great movie. And while they call it serendipity, fate, coincidence, the aligning of the stars, karma, you know, we've got, the world has all these words for it. I don't believe in circumstances. I believe that God, the one who made the stars, is the one who is in control of every circumstance in our life. That means even the bad stuff is in God's control. Think of the book of Job. This man's life is ruined. And God himself says, Satan, look, this is one of the most righteous men on the face of the earth. And so even the Lord commends Job for his righteousness and his life of holiness before God. But his life, one circumstance after another occurs that is just completely detrimental and would tear anyone apart. But you get to the end of Job's life, Job chapter 42, verse 5. I love it. And Job says, I had heard of him, speaking of God, by the hearing of the ear. But now, oh, now my eyes have seen him. And isn't that good that even when, like Job, we can take the bad stuff and say, no, I would not have preferred for this to have happened in my life. But because of these circumstances, I now have an experiential relationship with God where I see God in a whole different light than I ever would have had these things not occurred.
When you say that, you have a quote by Elizabeth Elliot. One of the best pieces of advice I ever got was, she said, do the next thing.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, I think that oftentimes we're paralyzed in fear. We're waiting for God to speak to us, and we should. We should wait for clear directions. God is never behind. So if you are not clear on what God would have you to do, then I would say to wait patiently. But if there is a decision that has to be made tomorrow at noon, and you're still debating as to what might be the best thing, then I take Elizabeth Elliot's advice. She says, the best piece of advice she got was, what would be the next thing to do? What is the clearest way that you can say, God, which way would God be most pleased? And let me say something that I'm not sure if I recorded in this book or not. And that is something else Elizabeth Elliot said. She said that oftentimes when she has to just do the next thing, she chooses the most difficult of the two options. Because it is in the most difficult that God's power will be most readily seen.
Wow.
Oh, I think that's huge. Because who wants to choose the most difficult? You want to choose the easiest thing.
Yeah, we go the easiest route.
But why wouldn't God want to do something in your life to show you his power more fully? Satan will never ask you, the enemy will never ask you to do anything where you have to see God's divine power at work. He's going to ask you to stay in your little comfort zone. He's going to ask you to do what always works for you. He's not going to compel you to do something that's going to encourage you to tap into divine resources. He don't want you to need God. And so if there is a more difficult option where you need God to pull it off, I would consider, if you have to just do the next thing because there's a decision to be made, I would consider choosing the option in which God's power will be most readily and would be more magnified in your life and in the lives of others around you.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. When we come back, I want to talk to you about ruling peace and what that means and actually how that even works with your husband, Jerry, over there.
Mm-hmm. That's a good concept to discuss. And so you got to stay with us through the break so you can hear that. Of course, you're podcasting. You can just jump right ahead. You don't have to pay attention to this. Podcasting is an easy way to get the Homeward program. Of course, we stream audio at homeward.com. All of the programs, as a matter of fact, are. We podcast the daily half hour program, but the daily half hour, the weekly half hour, the 60-second short feature, and the 1 hour weekend edition are all streaming and archived at homeward.com. And you can find them there, and there's no subscription cost whatsoever. You can just go to homeward.com and browse around, look at the articles and media section, and sign up for our Good Advice Parent newsletter, our daily online devotional. All of those are available to you without cost, and we can do so because of your prayers and faithful financial support. Appreciate it if you would consider giving a gift in support of the Ministry of Homeward today. You can give a gift online through our secure website at homeward.com or write to us at Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693. More Homewards still to come, so do stay with us.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
I think it's a great idea for the church to collect surplus Bibles to send overseas. We have so many of them here, and we hardly ever read them.
No, not that one. It was a graduation gift from my grandfather.
Okay. Well, how about this one?
Debbie, you can't be serious. Birthday
what?
Present for my first Sunday school teacher. Oh, and this one for reciting the 23rd Psalm from memory in the third grade. And then this one over here. Oh, boy, I remember that one from youth camp. It was just the best Bible I ever had.
We say the Bible is the most important book in the world, but if it's only a memory book to us, our kids will never be able to relate to how important it really is to us. That is, unless we intentionally let them catch us in the act reading it every now and then. Well, that principle is the third of 10 ways you can start communicating Christ to your kids. Well, for a free copy of our tip sheet called 10 Ways You Can Start Communicating Christ to Your Kids, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Priscilla Shire with us today, recognizing when God speaks to you. You know, I think sometimes God speaks to us and we don't know how to recognize if it's from God or, you know, if it's indigestion or the, you know, spaghetti we had last night. And frankly, the story is we do want to learn this. God will find a way to speak to you in a way that you will understand. And you've got to become acquainted with his voice. That's the kind of conversation we're having today. Priscilla, as we learn to discern God's voice through his character, you say that we can experience a ruling peace. I love that phrase. And the Lord used a pretty important event in your own life to teach you about this concept. Talk about how ruling peace impacted your courtship with Jerry.
Jerry and I met kind of in unusual circumstances. I was speaking somewhere. He was in the audience. So I guess I motivated him just a little bit more than I motivated everybody else. But someone introduced us to each other there. And we had already been going to the same church for 7 years. We'd never seen each other before. And so we met each other on that day. He called me that evening. We began dating. He was pretty serious pretty fast. I remember one day calling my dad and saying, "Hey, Dad, what are you doing today?" And he said, "Oh, I'm sitting here having a meeting with Jerry." And I was thinking, "Jerry, who? You got to be kidding me. I just met him at that point. I'd just known him for about a month, and he was already meeting with my dad about things." And so he was pretty serious, pretty fast. And I knew that he was wanting to lead in the direction of marriage. And I just felt completely inadequate to be the kind of wife that I've always thought I'd want to be. I didn't feel like marriage was something that I could handle right then. At the time, I was 24 years old. I didn't think I could be the kind of wife, the kind of mom that Scripture talks about. And so I felt really inadequate when I just thought about marriage in general. I felt inadequate. And then I wanted to be sure that he was the person that God had for me. And I remember just being kind of back and forth about this, late nights, not being able to sleep well. And as I sensed that through a series of events, God was leading me to marry Jerry Shire, I just remember as I kind of just relaxed into that possibility and said, "Lord, your will, not my will, but your will," I just began to feel internally, even though sometimes the circumstances were a little crazy, internally, I began to feel this peace that God wanted me to be this man's wife, and that if he called me, he was going to equip me. I still didn't think that I was capable, but I just began to feel this peace that if God was going to call me to it, he'd equip me to handle whatever it is that he called me to.
Is that a process? Was that a process for you more than kind of like you woke up one day and went, "Wait, I can do this"?
Absolutely. It was definitely a process.
Yeah, and I think it's important for people to hear sometimes that discerning God's voice sometimes is a process. It's not this
most of the time
audible experience. I mean, there is an audible time to it, I'm sure with some people. But a lot of times the word process is important as we're kind of talking through this, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
We can expect that our miraculous, wonderful God on occasion will do things that are just strikingly obviously him, and we know it's him and we can immediately be obedient. But oftentimes he just wants us to make it a matter of prayer, because for the Lord, many times, the journey to the destination is more important than the destination itself. Think of the children of Israel. He took them through the wilderness on purpose. That was his doing. And it's because he wanted a relationship with them more than he wanted to just give them the blessing of the promised land. What he wanted was for them to want him more than the answer, so to speak.
And they had some things to learn before they could get to the promised land. And
absolutely.
That's our story, too, a lot of times. Now, Priscilla, you've identified some questions that we are to ask ourselves if we're wondering whether or not God is speaking to us on a particular issue. And I love those questions.
Well, there are four of them. The first thing would be to ask yourself, will it or will this decision contradict the truth found in Scripture? Once again, that's just foundational. Will it contradict anything in the Word of God? Number two, will it cause me to indulge in sin of any kind? The third thing is, will it encourage me in any way to kind of hypocritically cover up sin that I don't want anyone to know about? And the fourth thing is, will it give glory to God by magnifying his truth to all the people that are involved in this situation? Those four things can kind of help to stir you in God's direction in that situation you're facing in your life.
Yeah, and those are great questions. Now, psychologists tell us that there's kind of this voice inside our head that actually can speak several thousand words per minute into our minds and into our hearts. But they warn us also of the damaging effects of negative self-talk. But you're more inclined to refer to it by a biblical name. You call it the devil's strongholds.
Yeah.
Help us understand that concept, because the negative self-talk is something that a lot of us know about, but you're calling it the devil's strongholds.
I am. And you know, Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says that there are fortresses, there are basically buildings that are being erected in our minds. And they're there for one purpose. Those passages tell us that they're there to stand against the knowledge of God, that we feed into it when we allow the enemy to have a foothold in our life, and we allow anything, a stronghold is anything that contradicts the Word of God that you continue to rehearse over and over again in your mind. So for many women, for instance, that is negative self-talk, that we just think we're not valuable enough, not successful enough, we don't look the way we should look, we're not capable, and we just run that stuff over in our mind, and before we know it, we have helped the enemy, assisted the enemy in erecting a fortress in our mind, and he wants it there because that will, in essence, stand against God's word to you. And so if you find that hearing God is very, very difficult for you, then ask the Lord in prayer, "Lord, would you point out if there's any type of stronghold or fortress that maybe I don't even realize as a part of my life, so that we can get about the business of tearing this stronghold down, so that I don't want anything standing against against your truth, God. And so let's tear this down so that I can hear your voice clearly in my life.
That's an important message. It's an important message for us to teach our families as well. Earlier on, we had talked about the fact that there are lots of people who want to hear the voice of God. Christians and the secular world is big on it. You were talking about the books, Conversations with God, etc., which is very, very popular
right now.
So you've got a book like yours, Discerning the Voice of the Living God. You've also got all these other things.
Yeah.
I don't want you to put necessarily all those things down, but those do sometimes bring in these back to this devil stronghold. They are speaking some lies into our mind. What are some of those lies?
Well, the lies are, number one, and most importantly, I think, that you can have a relationship with the one true God in a myriad of different options, because most of these resources are teaching that, that you can have a conversational relationship with God, and that that God is completely tolerant, and that he allows us to come to him a myriad of different ways, and that the word of God, that the scriptures are not infallible, that they're just one of many ways that we're able to discern God's leading in our life. And so if we're not careful, if you're a believer, if you're not careful, you probably won't ever say, I just don't believe the Bible is true, or I don't believe that Jesus Christ is the only way. You probably won't ever say that, but we just become a little watered down in our belief system. So before you know it, you've become a little bit more tolerant, and you've started to acquiesce just a little bit and fade in with the background of society a little bit, instead of standing clear that, listen, if you want to have a conversation with the one true God, I'm talking about the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then there's only one way to do that. That's through relationship with Jesus Christ and with the word of God being not only your boundary, but also the main, the chief mechanism, the chief listening device for hearing God.
And in many ways, we've talked about the learning the will of God, because discerning the voice of God is very similar to the will of God. Speak for a moment. We don't have much time left, but speak for a moment about how our God is the God of an invitational voice.
Yeah. I loved, this is one of my favorite principles in the entire book and in my own personal life, is that when you see God's activity, I think Henry Blackaby talks about this a lot. When you see God moving in anything, it could be in your church, it could be in your family, it could be in a specific direction on your job, but you see something unusual that you recognize has got to be God, because nobody, no human could kind of pull off these coincidences, so to speak. When the Lord allows your spiritual eyes to see that something that is happening is him, that is your invitation to drop what you are doing and jump on the bandwagon of what he's doing. In other words, when you see God moving and he's allowed your spiritual eyes to be open to see it, that's because he's inviting you to join him. Yeah. It's like Exodus chapter 3, Moses, here he is shepherding a sheep. He's just doing his job. He's doing his 8 to 5, and he sees this burning bush over there. Well, the Lord allowed him to see this burning bush. And the Bible says in Exodus 3, verse 4, that he stopped what he was doing and turned aside to see what God was up to. Man, when he stopped his regular day job to just go after what he saw God doing, his entire life changed, and the lives of hundreds of thousands of millions of Jewish people changed because one man stopped his thing to go after God's thing. And so when you see God moving in an unusual way, ask the Lord, Lord, how am I supposed to participate in this? I see you inviting me. I'm ready to forego my plans for your plans now so that I can get busy about doing your will for my life.
What an encouraging challenge there from Priscilla Shire as we conclude today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast. Recognizing when God speaks to you has been our theme. And if you missed any part of the program, actually, if you'd like the full-length audio CD, we'll be happy to send you one. Just drop us a line. Send a gift of any amount in support of the Ministry of Homeward when you write to Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693, and just ask for the CD for the program's Priscilla Shire, Recognizing When God Speaks to You. And Jim, this is kind of easier said than done. We can have this conversation in theory, but especially for parents trying to impart this wisdom to our children, take the final moments of our program together and give us some tips on how we can do a better job of that.
Frankly, Roger, I think we have to go back to the basics. And I'm going to give you two steps, and these two steps are so basic that we oftentimes miss it when we're thinking about listening to the Word of God. But the first step is to spend time in the Bible every day, and the second step is to pray every day. Hmm. You know, so many Christians are trying to live the Christian life without Bible reading and without prayer. And I sometimes think Christians are waiting for this burning bush experience or some type of a Moses experience.
Yeah.
But really what they need to do is read the Bible and pray, because God speaks through the Word each and every day. And he speaks to us a lot of times through prayer. Sometimes we can't just be talking about it. We have to be listening as well.
Right.
Now, if you're a parent, at some time your kids are going to ask you, are those the only two ways that God speaks to us? And I don't think those are the only two ways. I think there's several ways, you know, through circumstances and through worship. And sometimes for me, through Christian music or hearing a sermon. And there's many, many ways that he speaks to us. But the primary ways, read the Bible every day. Make a commitment to read the scripture every day and make a commitment to pray every day.
It's amazing how just those two steps can have such a powerful influence on your life and then the lives of all around you. And as a parent listening to the Homeward broadcast today, or as a grandparent listening to the Homeward broadcast today, watch what happens when you start putting those principles into action. Well, this is concluding today's edition of the Homeward broadcast. I'm so grateful that you have tuned in here. Broadcasting, as always, from the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University. You know, every year, the semester-long college-headed and mighty proud program here at APU, they call it CHAMP. It introduces the idea of college to about 700 fourth graders from six local schools here in Southern California. If you'd like to learn more about that, or maybe how you can adopt a CHAMP-like program in your area, just go to homeward.com or go to apu.edu. And you can also follow Dr. Jim Burns on Twitter. You can check us out on Facebook. There's lots of ways to connect with us here at Homeward. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward, where parents get real answers. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.